You know, the first reason we celebrate is this wonderful fact that Jesus heals. Would everybody say that together? Jesus heals. And that means that even though life may not necessarily be working right, we know that Jesus can heal and our future is brighter than the pain or the brokenness we feel in this moment. It's a reason to celebrate. And if you look at page 6, I have there the scripture that I have committed to us. I felt like the Lord would have us use for Anniversary Sunday on this 34th year. Luke 6, starting at verse 12. It says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. When he went down with them and stood on a level place, a large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by unclean spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all." And healing them all. Father, we ask that you would bless this word, that we would remember that, Lord, power still comes from you to heal them all. Lord, we would ask that you would reignite in our hearts a belief not just for the gift of your second coming, but that every day you come to us with power. I pray, Father, for each person in here, both those who have been healed, those who are celebrating serving others, and those, Lord, who need healing today, that, Lord, you would encourage them, and today would be a new day for the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone say,
amen.
Amen. Also want to take a moment as we start, just thinking of our deaf congregation, to honor them, Pastor Suzanne Rivera, and just ask them if they'd stand just for a moment, and let us see them. And this is what you do. This is what you do. There you go. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Praise the Lord. When we start a school year, when Chesterfield starts a school year in September, we start a year of discipleship. And this school year, we've given the theme of being his disciple. We had an 8-month focus of what is it that makes Jesus the center of everyday life, not just of a service, not just of religious words, but of our hearts. And we said there are 4 things that we want to do every day as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We want to worship faithfully. We want to love biblically. We want to serve joyfully. And we want to lead wisely. That every day is kind of a north, south, south, east, and west. That if we would put those things together, every day Jesus really would be the center. Worship isn't just about singing a song. It's an attitude of the heart that says, God, you're the greatest thing in my life today. And this year, we're talking about don't just be a believer in Jesus. Be a worshiper of Jesus. Some of us sing a lot. Some of us do something that is faintly called singing. I mean, there's lots of different things, but all of us are worshipers. And how often do we go through a week, and by the end of the week, we're worshiping our stress, our fear, our pain, our problems, when every day we'll come in a fresh way and say, Lord, I want you to be the center today. You're the greatest. I want to worship you faithfully. Not very complicated, pretty simple, but important to do every day in a world that's constantly pulling you away. We talked about loving biblically. That it's not just about loving people in whatever the definition of love is to anybody around. We've got a lot of that going around right now. But we've got to love people according to the word of God. And last week we said sometimes you love people but can't please them. That's loving biblically. And so we have to remember that. That in our marriages, it's not just what we feel. In our parenting, as teenagers in a certain life stage, that doesn't give us room to go outside the word of God in the way that we have relationship. that if we will love biblically, we won't discover life yanking us with all sorts of drama and all sorts of chaos, emotional relation, because we'll have done everything according to the Word of God. We talk about serving joyfully. That it's not just serving, but with joy. It even says that for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. It's joyful to serve Him, to have the privilege that we have to be together and witness for Him. We've talked about that, you know, the world around us is tired of tired religion by tired people and tired churches and tired thoughts. And it's time to have a fresh joy about the chance that every day we can see He's great. And then we talked about love, leading wisely. It's that sermon series about making better choices. We lead people to Jesus by the choices we make every day. And we don't want to do it according to the spirit of fear. We don't want to do it just because there's a storm. We don't want to make a bad decision. We don't want to please people before we please Him. Pleasing God is first. And if we do these things, Jesus will be the center. We'll be disciples that bring Him glory. You may have a job title. You may have an economic title. You may have a school title, a career title. But the most important title is disciple, follower of Jesus Christ. And we see in this passage that Jesus is with His disciples. Some of them are called to lead, like the people we honor today. That's not just man's choice. That's a gift of the Lord to the church, and that's a blessing. But we see that there's this great crowd of people, and not everybody who comes is a disciple. Some of them are just seeking. Some of them are just looking, and that's okay. We want, in every service, we want people who are longing to hear from Him and would love for Him to touch them and heal them. We do this together. And on our 34th anniversary, there is a joy, there's a reason to celebrate. Because we know the one that we follow, He heals. But not just does He heal, according to the last words that I said in this passage, He heals them all. Now, many of you know that I grew up in New York, on Long Island, or as we say, Long Island. All right? And I've been down here 17 years. The only place I've ever pastored, the only reason I came down to Virginia was via Cornerstone. And I still haven't gotten y'all down, okay? But I think this morning is going to be the closest country sermon I ever did, because I'm going to say them all a lot. And I know that's weak, but that's as close as I can get right now, okay? Because the Bible says that everyone wanted to hear from Him, and everybody was reaching, and everything with either disease or unclean spirits or needs, that they were wanting for Him to heal them. And it says that power was coming and was healing them. How many?
All.
All right, you're going to need to remember that phrase, them all. I might start something today. It's going to be exciting. Them all. I can't really quite get the draw on there, but them all. All right? And when I point, if we need that phrase, you need to be able to say what?
Them all.
Them all. Okay, here we go. So, Oh, you practicing? Okay, good. Now look, Luke 6 is about Jesus initiating a kingdom community that the world's never seen. He chooses leaders, and He comes down from the mountain just like Moses came down the mountain. And we're going to see, if you read more, He's starting to give the Beatitudes. He's giving the word that's creating this community. And this passage is all about a group of people who Jesus is the center of. They're different as different could be, but they all are listening to Jesus, and they're all reaching for Jesus. And because of that, they're becoming a community. They're becoming something the world has never seen. And that is who we are supposed to be as a church as well. A community. A group of people who have come together like nobody has ever seen. A group that comes together in His kingdom and where God can heal
them all.
All right, that's good. I thought I'd catch you. All right, good. Them all. Now, 2,700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah had a vision of a community of people with the Messiah at the center. And it says this, But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are what?
Healed.
Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and fulfilled that. And there's a healing. There's a salvation. There's a hope that is beyond whatever the world says and whatever turmoil it says. The scripture will say, though the mountains fall into the sea, my hope is firm in the God who loves me. There's a healing that happened. Now, only 34 years ago, a group of people gathered together who believe that Jesus really does heal them all. And just a mile away, the first Cornerstone service happened. And it was committed. They were committed to seeing all sorts of healing as Pastor Gary Williamson founded the church along with Dr. Roden from What's Then Assembly of God. And they came together and they launched this church. We are people, even in the midst of the difficult moments, who can celebrate that Jesus heals. And the question is, what does that healing look like? So it's going to be really easy to take notes if you're going to today. All right? First of all, who does Jesus heal? Guess who he heals? You're good. You just caught that. You were ahead of me. I'm impressed. You know what? He heals them all. I want you to look at this passage. In this passage, there are seekers, people from Tyre and Sidon. That's not Jewish. That's from the coast. That's another nation. That's another culture. Those are Gentiles. These are people who don't have any necessary religion of the one true God, but they're in the crowd, and God heals them. There are people. Come on, thank you. Good. We've got the leaders. We've got followers. We have rich and poor. We have Jewish and Gentile. We have educated and undereducated. We have people from the city, Jerusalem, and we have people in the country, Judea. We have people who are immigrants and people who are citizens, and all of them are hungering after Jesus. When we say that Jesus heals, we're saying no one is too sick or too broken. No one is too sinful and messed up. No one is too old. No one is too young. No one is from a family that's too broken. No one's too rich. No one's too poor. No one's too driven. No one's too lazy. No person is too small. No person is too important. God heals all of them. Not just people who always go to church, but people who have a hunger and are willing to make the center of their life go from what they've been to Jesus and who they can be. You know, often we need to break down to break through. Often, what is the center, what we've been holding on to in our life for so long, that's got to break down, and sometimes that's a very painful thing. But at some point, when the center of our life no longer works, and we're saying, I'm looking for something new to depend on, I'm looking for a new way to live, that's when the center of our life opens up, and when Jesus can come in and heal as only he can heal. Many of you know my grandfather's favorite quote, the one who was healed of colon cancer, miraculously with hours left to live. It's Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, and it says this: Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with his love and his compassion. I know that there are times it's easy to give up and rationalize our hope away. But my prayer is this morning that you will sense a new word from the Lord that hope is possible, that Jesus really does heal them all, and that you're one of them. Today, in this tent of meeting, I would declare to you that there is a new day of healing that God is bringing. And I'm not saying that to be sensational. I'm not saying that to try to generate some sort of psychological motivation. I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he healed them then, guess what he does now? Heals them now. And we need to be people who are rational and are thoughtful and address things with wisdom and faithfulness. And in that, we can expect a God who does more than we can ask for or even imagine. Don't give up. Hear a fresh word in your heart that Jesus does heal. How many of them? Them all. Now the question is, when we say healing, what does he heal? Well, I've got a list of problems, and out of all the problems that Jesus can heal, guess how many he heals?
Them all.
Them all. Number two, point number two, he heals them all. And we see it in this passage. We see that they come and they are wanting to be healed of their diseases. I can't tell you the stories of my own family of healing that's happened. I was just thinking yesterday, my wife's mom, who had lupus, diagnosed with lupus so young and had so many health problems. And there was even a point where they said that she shouldn't have any more kids. And she had one more. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. That's Jesus healing, because Jesus heals. He heals all diseases. He is faithful. I think about the time when Sarah and I were having our third child, Kate, and we got one of our first ultrasounds back. And the doctor came in and said, there's a bubble in your daughter's developing brain. And they said it's often, this leads to some abnormalities. And the doctor said, if you would like, we can end the pregnancy now. But we believe that Jesus heals them all in the womb and outside the womb. And Cain just came out just exactly the way she was supposed to come out. And for us, it was ultimate healing in that way. And it was a blessing. Because Jesus does heal them all. He heals in all ways that, you know, you're not going to hear a lot from the world about it. And sometimes, yes, we see ministries and evangelism teams that handle it very wrong. But we have to be ones who do not forsake the call that Jesus heals every disease. He forgives all of our sins and he heals all of our diseases. But he doesn't just heal disease. This scripture says that there were those of unclean spirit. You know, Jesus heals not just what's in the body, but what is deeper than the body. And we need to remember that today. You can take all the marriage classes you want, and you should. You can take all of the discipleship courses you want, and you should. But there are healings in our spirit that need to take place. There's deliverance from spirits of anger, spirits of bitterness, spirits of pain. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Jesus heal deep in the spirit something that caused hopelessness, that caused people to want to give up. And I want every person, if you would look at me right now, every person, in Jesus there's hope. And you are not done seeing the healing of God in your life or in your family's life. Trust that he heals them all. But he doesn't just heal what's in us. What I love about this passage, which so many people don't recognize, is Jesus doesn't heal just what's in us. He heals what's between us. Do you notice the group of people that come together to follow Jesus, where Jesus sent them? There are different cultures. There's Jewish and Gentile, different nationalities. There are city and country. There are social classes there in that country mix of peasant and ruler, of educated and non, of merchant and of servant. Jesus doesn't just heal what's in us. He heals what's between us. And that is the demonstration of his full healing. There is a work. 12 disciples. One's a zealot. One's a tax collector. One's educated. Other are fishermen. you don't get more divided on the political or on the social level than those 12 disciples, and yet they are all together because Jesus is not just healing what's in them, he's healing what's between them. There are generations, those who have prayed at the temple for years and decades, and those for the first time who are wondering, who is this God? They are all there. Ephesians 2 tells us that Christ is our peace, who has broken down the walls of hostility that divide us so that we come together as one new creation that the world has never seen. What kind of unclean spirits, how many of them does Jesus heal? What kind of social problems and walls does Jesus heal? Them all. And that is who we get to be. Jesus isn't just healing what's inside of us, but what's between us. And that's why we don't just listen to the sermon on podcast, although it's great to do when we're traveling. That's why we don't just watch TV at home on a service, because the fullness of his healing is not just in here and in this. It's in my relationships with the people I'm walking with. And when I come together as the body of Christ, God begins to work a healing that the world does not have an answer to. There is a deeper healing that we come together to live out and to demonstrate. That is why Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by what? By your love, because I have healed and broken down the walls. Look at who we are in this room. You can't even understand the stories of the people who are sitting next to you right now. Different, dramatic, beautiful, promising, both seeing and waiting to see. And we come together, not just as a church, not just as a religious organization. We come together believing that Jesus is the healer that heals what's between us. And in that, we become a healing community that all of the world needs. The world needs it. And on this 34th anniversary, we've always been known from the beginning as a healing center. There's always been a call of healing. But if you've noticed, in the last 3 years, we really haven't talked about much. We've only been saying one thing, and it's on a lot of your shirts. Jesus. 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 Jesus has to be the center. We're not healed by healing. We don't have faith in faith. We worship worship. We worship Jesus. He's the center. And we can't be the healing community until he's got his rightful place. So what we did over the past 3 years was we kind of deconstructed a little bit. We didn't lose the call for healing, but we broke it down and said, let's make sure Jesus is the center of this. We've all seen when Jesus hasn't been the center. We're all done with that. We're saying this is our unity. We can be come from the most diverse places, and yet there's a healing of what's between us that comes from God. So we were in prayer last corporate prayer night, and the Lord said to me, Sean, it's time. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's time to refocus on the healing of God that I've called this church to be. But now it's with Jesus at the center. It's always been, but we just had to reform as a church in the new transition, say, Jesus is going to be the center of this. And it was so interesting. I was up at the altar, and Jesus said, I felt like the Lord said, healing community with Jesus at the center. That's what we do. I said, yeah, healing community. I said, well, no, Sean, more than that. So what do you mean, Lord? He said, Sean, Cornerstone is many healing communities with Jesus at the center. I was like, what are you talking about? He said this, Sean, if you're going to show me 8:30 service in the sanctuary, 11 o'clock service in the fellowship hall, life group meeting at 10, Shady Hill Women's Bible Study Monday night, men's groups in the morning, Deaf Church, Spanish Church. Sean, I am calling Cornerstone to be many communities of healing with Jesus at the center. It's not that a pastor is not the center. One service is not the center. One expression is not the center. The center is Him. And we've all got the same DNA, worshiping faithfully, loving biblically, serving joyfully, leading wisely. I said, Lord, you know, many communities, I mean, we're barely getting two more services off the ground. He said, just talk to Abram, okay? Just talk to Abraham. Before he was, I called him and I said, in faith, you're going to be the father of many nations. He said, Sean, this is what I'm saying to Cornerstone. Cornerstone, you are called to be many communities of healing with Jesus at the center. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's a new call for all of us. A new remembrance that Jesus is there in our midst, at the center, and healing power is coming from Him. Because whether it's 11 o'clock service or 8:30 service or life group or small group or home group, which community is Jesus going to use to heal?
All.
Them all. Softball teams. Shout out, we won two to Friday. Basketball teams. Ranger classes. Creative card making groups. All of them, Jesus wants to use to heal. In the body, in the heart, and what's between us. That the world out there may see and hear something it can't do. How do all those people, of all those generations, of all those politics, career, social, economics, languages, cultures, how are they all together? Jesus at the center. Church, I believe that God always does what's next better than what He's done. He's a God who doesn't know but to take the next wine and make it better than the wine before. It's always a heritage and a joy. And I believe God is calling us to that today. I pray you'll begin in the next few weeks. I'm going to share here or there about what it looks like in each of these different communities. And then I see us gathering together 3 times a year, not necessarily tents, maybe at a school, but 3 times a year, anniversary Sunday, the beginning of discipleship in September, maybe something around Advent. We gather like this because we're all part of one body. Every corporate prayer we're talking about, maybe moving it from Monday night to Sunday night of the first Sunday of the month, so that even though we go to different services and serve in God's healing different ways, we always have places to come together as the larger corporate body, life groups, different ministries that are going on. God has plans to say, I want to show the world around me that I am a healing God, that there is hope and faith and trust in me. And it's not just about us, is it? But it's about all these kids out here. I'm going to invite all the kids. If Pastor Nedra and Wendell would bring the kids and set them up, we're going to have them here. We're going to do a kids' message. And at the end of that, there is on page 8, there is a renewing of our commitment for Christ to be the cornerstone. And I'm going to encourage each of you to be ready in a moment to do that. But before we do that, we're going to take a moment to love on these great kids, because the next generations need to see a healing community with Jesus at the center. Amen? Here they come. Let's give them a round of applause. Pastor Nate is coming up. As we're waiting for the kids to line up, all of the leaders, I want to give you a gift in this year of harvest. One of the things the Lord said is, Sean, there is healing in the harvest. And I really believe that. And as we continue to understand what that's going to look like, my grandfather, who's been in ministry for over 50 years, wrote a book, and I know Chuck King's really going to like this book. It's just a little booklet. And it's called It's called Sowing the Fruitful Seed, Comparing Gardening Insights with Spiritual Truths. So my grandfather started quite the garden. And all the elders, all the deacons, all the board of directors, all the pastors, if I missed anybody in that group, I want each one of you to have one. I asked my grandfather to send me some. So by the end of the day, I'm going to ask you to do that. He says on the last page, he says, "We are called to be sowers, so let us faithfully sow the word and leave the harvest to the Lord. Oh, what a blessing it will be in that day to hear the Lord say, 'You are a wise gardener, sowing seeds that brought forth much fruit for my kingdom.'" Leaders, ministry leaders, if I have any more, I'll make sure I'll get some to you. It's time to take care of the harvest and see healing in a brand new way. Oh boy, we got kids coming. All right. Can I take this microphone past this line? Is everybody going to be playing out?
Oh,
you're just like, hey, we'll see. All right, boys and girls, it is great to see all of you. Isn't it great to see all this? This is the future generations here, everybody. All right, boys and girls, it is great to see you. We were just talking about how God brings us all together. Now, let me ask you a question. Pastor Neger and I have a few questions to get to know you this morning. Okay, how many kids here are in first grade? Raise your hand. Okay, good first graders. All right, Pastor Neger.
How many of you are girls? Because girls rule.
Woo! Really, Pastor Neger? I'm working on unity right now. How many like Ben 10?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Caleb's excited.
How many of you guys play a sport?
Yes.
All right, kids, next question. It's our 34th year anniversary. How many people think their parents are over 34? Okay, good. Okay, Pastor Nita.
How many of you guys like pizza?
Way to get the unity question out, Pastor Neil. All right, Pastor Neil. Hey, boys and girls, one of the things we just talked about here in service is that Jesus takes all sorts of different people and he kind of sews them together, brings them together to be a family. And so today we've been encouraging everybody to wear a Cornerstone t-shirt if they had one, softball shirt, whatever. And I was like, I've got like 79 Cornerstone t-shirts. So I decided to have one made for me. It's actually about 10 pounds, so I think I'm bulletproof now as well as colorful. Hey, you know, this shirt has a whole bunch of different missions and Cornerstone shirts. Kids Activated there, and the crossing here, and I don't know what's there. But it's all over there. You know what? This shirt is like what Jesus does at Cornerstone. He takes a whole bunch of different people who are all a little different, and he sews them all together so that we're one in Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And you know what? That's something we always want to do. That, you know, who you are, you may be different from the person next to you, but that's what Jesus does. He takes all of who we are as an individual, and he blesses it, and he brings us together. And so I want you to remember that you're part of a family where you can be you. You're part of a family with who you are, the color of your eyes, your skin, color of your hair, the amount of your hair, whatever it goes, it's all good. And we're praying that God in this next season will help us to bring even more people in who come together like this shirt, all together to love Jesus. So we're going to take a minute to pray together over the kids. What we're going to do then is we're going to go from youngest to oldest. We make sure the kids get to them. Then we're going to do our renewal on page 8. And then with a worship song, okay? Pastor Rowan then will give us our instructions. So, Pastor Nidra, We're going to get, we're going to let Pastor Nedra pray a prayer over the children, and then we're going to, in a very orderly manner, get them there and finish up.
These are my babies, y'all. These are my babies. It has been a great summer, and I just want to pray for you. Everybody, let's close our eyes. Can we close our eyes? Father, I just thank you for each and every gift that is sitting on this stage right now, God. I thank you for them, God. It is a privilege to be able to pastor over them. Father, I just pray, God, that they would be the men and the women of God that you have created them to be. I pray that you would just bless them as they come, bless them as they go. Father, help them to be leaders, not followers, God. Help them to have boldness, oh God, to tell people about you, Father. May they have a strong foundation of who you are, God. That they would just not, you would not just be my God or their parents' gods, but God, you would be their God. God, I just thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. I thank you that they're the next teachers, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, doctors, lawyers, God. I pray that everything that they touch will be blessed. I speak a special prayer of blessing over them, God. I just pray that you would just use them for your glory, God. Show them your love, God, that you love them like never before, God. I pray that every single week that they come in, God, that they will experience you in a new way, Father. And that, Lord, that there will be a light out into the world, Father. And I just give you glory and honor and praise, oh God, for what you are going to do in their lives, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen. There we go.
We're going to take care of them. We're going to ask you to get ready for the anniversary offering as well. So we're going to have our youngest kids. So if everybody stays seated and just one family member comes on up and comes and finds your child, let's go for who do we have as the youngest. So we have the 5 and 6-year-olds. 3 and 4-year-olds. 3 and 4-year-olds, stand up. If you're 3 or 4, stand up. All right. We're all coming. Alright. We have, where's Matthew? There we go. Karen or family member, come on up. Alright, here they come. Alright. Take Brad. Make sure everybody. Okay, good. Alright, good. Alright. So now we have 5 and 6-year-olds who want to stand. 5 and 6-year-olds. Parents, come on up. Let's take our time. Just want to make sure this goes well. kids. Obviously, a lot's going on, but I'm going to ask you to stand, holding page 8 and holding your anniversary offering. The ushers could come to the front of the aisle once the aisle is clear for them to come. What we're going to do in this moment, I hope you'll hold on to your children there because we want to say this commitment together before the Lord. But what we're going to do is we're going to, in a moment, as families, as individuals, as a church family, as many healing communities with Jesus at the center, we're going to make a recommitment. I'm just going to do it like I do a wedding. I'm going to say a line and then you repeat it. And we're just going to echo. And as we finish that, then I'm going to say a prayer at the end of the vow that will both be our commitment to the Lord and a blessing of the anniversary offering. And they're going to sing for us, and Pastor Rita is going to come and give us directions. In this year of harvest, renewing our commitment to Christ, as the people of God are together, I'm asking us to renew in our hearts that Christ is the cornerstone, ready for this call. Would you repeat after me? As the people of Cornerstone,
we commit
to make Jesus the cornerstone of our lives, families, and careers. We repent of our sin and self-centeredness. We live to please you, Almighty God.
We pray that we will.
Worship Jesus faithfully.
Love others biblically.
Serve one another joyfully.
And lead all to Christ wisely.
Give us a new hunger for your word.
Fill us with the new work of your Holy Spirit.
Show your healing power through us.
Today we commit to be healing communities
who have Jesus at the center.
No matter how or when we gather,
use us for your glory, we pray. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this call, Lord. We met with you, and before you, we renewed our commitment that you would be the cornerstone of all that we are. Use us for your glory, and may a new season of healing in this harvest begin. Father, as we give this offering, thinking of not just healing for ourselves, but, Lord, for people of the Muslim faith in the community in Ethiopia that need a medical clinic, Lord, we give that they might be healed both body, soul, spirit. Father, in relationship, they might come into the body of Christ. For the VBS that will happen in just 8 weeks or so, Father, for new ways that we want to reach to our community and let them know about the love and the hope and the truth of Jesus. Bless this offering. Bless this commitment. And as we sing these words, Jesus be the center, renewing us, that it's by you, through you, and for you. We love you, King Jesus. We commit ourselves to you. Bless us as we give. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said,
amen.
Let's give as we worship and commit. Amen.